Yeah, well, we have a number of things to pray for. Of course, it's praise that we come before the Lord, for He is the giver of all good things. One of the things to pray for is our sister churches. In the bulletin, it talks about an Ethiopian church in Alexandria, Virginia. So remember them. Remember our country as we are going through a time of change politically and otherwise. And remember that God hears our heart. So may I ask you to stand as we come before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the joy of this Christmas season. The joy to know that Christ has come and hope has been rekindled. Joy can be in our heart in peace in spite of all the turmoil that comes around. Father, we thank you. If we do experience your love, the love that embraces us through the cross, the forgiveness of our sins when we confess to you. And so come, Lord. For this place has been dedicated to you. Where we stand is holy ground. Sanctify us, O God, and may your Spirit speak to us this day, that your word will have an impact and transform our lives. Father, we pray for those who are having a difficult time during this holiday season. Some are missing loved ones. Some are struggling with illness. Others with issues of health and of mind and of emotion. Lord, you're the one who provides healing. You're the one who provides that peace that passes all understanding. And so come, Lord, and minister to us. So today we minister to you in songs and in words and in our prayer of heart that we return to you praise that you so deserve. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for our president. We pray for Congress, Lord, in this time where there is messages of peace, may this peace abide. Give guidance and wisdom to those who are in leadership. We pray for our sister church in Alexandria, for the Ethiopian community. May this church be that voice of the good news that they would reach many who have yet to come into your kingdom. And so, Lord, today, may your name be praised. Anoint the lips of those who have spoken and those who read Scripture, and even as I bring forth your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today we bring to a close our series on This is Jesus. We talk about Jesus as the one who is God Himself. We talk about Jesus who is our deliverer, He's our shepherd, He is our healer. Today we are going to emphasize Jesus is King, not just King, but He is King of myself, my heart. And may that be true for all of us. Revelation 19 says, on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is a wonderful message. And as we think about what is happening in our lives, we probably have seen quite a few commercials. The commercials that would advertise Ancestry.com. Let me be sure that this thing is on. So our next slide talks about the genealogy of Jesus. The book of Matthew chapter 1 verse 17 talks about this. So we have just read that a while ago, and it breaks it down to three different generations. So, okay, thank you. Yeah. I've been pressing the wrong button. So the genealogy of Jesus. Why is genealogy so important? You've seen the advertisement on television about Ancestry.com. People just trying to find their number one search is to see if they have any connection to royalty. In Europe, they've been doing that. In Africa, they're trying to find out, am I connected somehow to a king? We want to be connected to royalty. And the other part about discovering your genealogy is not just for history, it's not just for connecting with relatives. You can find friends. You can also connect to royalty, connect to your ancestry to find out if you have an inheritance somewhere. And also, right now, the idea of DNA testing is to see, was there a gene in you that traced back to your ancestors who may make you carry a certain disease? How can you change any of those? So there are a lot of good things about genealogy. It took me 25 years to find my own lineage. Here's a book I brought back from China. Huge book. And now this is just the lineage of the Wong who went to Guangdong and then went into the county in the city of Taishan. And it took me 25 years. 1971, I arrived in America and searched, went to the Wong Family Association, wrote to the police in China in search of my ancestry. And so it was good that I was able to find a cousin, and in 1996, it was a great time. Now, so I said, can you provide me a copy of this? You see, a ancestry log is a legal document. I found out that my grandfather has a house, and it's been locked up for 40 years. I remember going there, the lock was so rusty, but it was a lock made in Italy, very sturdy. No one had broken into that house for 40 years. And so I said, great, can I lay claim to this house? And they said, sure. Okay, if you can prove your lineage. I said, sure, let's do that. So we did. So I've been looking out the line, checking out with the cousins, and then finally was able to say, put this in the official book. And so for 100 kwai, they printed this for me. And then as I went through this book, I found out, hey, there's something interesting here. There's no page number when it comes to my page. And it was just a paper with no page number. They said, well, we included you in this book. However, it's not official yet. So what will make it official so I can lay claim to my grandfather's house? They said, well, you have to register. You have to come back personally and register, have a big celebration. It's very normal for people to spend over $10,000. Just to have that party for the whole village to come. And you have to come to the temple. You have to burn incense. You have to bow to your ancestor. That means you have come home. You are now a son of this Wong clan. I said, I can do a lot of stuff, but I will not bow. I will not burn incense. Forget the house, you know, we don't have to lay claim to it. But it is a great feeling to know that I am connected. So you may not read the Chinese part, but up here, this is Baksa, and this is where my village is. And we have lots of pictures. We can tell a lot of stories. My grandfather is the 28th generation from the first Wong that ended up in Guangdong. And then now my grandfather had two wives. The first one said he married someone with the surname Ma. And she said, I'm not going to go with you. You're going to go to Australia and Philippines and start a new life. Pick another woman. Let her be your wife. So my grandma is Sing Chui. is her last name. And out of her 11 siblings were born. My father is the second born. And so my father is the 29th generation. This is his name. And this is my mother's name. My mother is from Hong Kong. See, I always have to tell people, I am pure Chinese. They say, you're from Philippines. You don't even look Chinese. Your skin is brown. I say, yeah, well, I have the ancestry book to prove I'm the real thing. So here's my name. And then, so I'm the 30th generation. And my name here, this is Nancy's Chinese name, Nan Shi. Okay, and my daughter, Melody, stand up. This is our daughter, Melody. Okay, and then my son, Jordan. Now, this is the cousin from whom we were able to trace back. So 31st generation, see, the girls' name are dropped after that. Only the male are listed. And so my son's name is here, and my grandson's name. He lived for about 2 hours, but we're thankful for, so his Chinese name, we call him the gift from God. The English name is Zion. So I had great joy in finding out my heritage. Now, a heritage, when you think about it, and you think about royalty, Jesus is king, we're saying this, but we have no concept today of what royalty is. Of course, politically, they're saying, hey, our president thinks that he is king. Well, we have no idea what kingship really is because we have not been ruled by a monarchy. But the monarchy, if you were to think about writing the lineage of Jesus, you want it to be pure. You want it to be clean. You want every good thing written about Jesus. If you look at the royalty in the United Kingdom, it's full of scandals. The most recent ones, I don't have to go through that. Go into Stream Your News and you will find that even Prince Andrew today had problems. There are so many different scandals that come through the royal family. Now, if I was to write a genealogy of Jesus, I want it to be clean. I don't want to have any scandal linked to it. And so when we look at the genealogy of Jesus, there are two times. Only the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke records the genealogy of Jesus. Now, Matthew concentrated on the lineage of Joseph. And if you look at Luke, chapter 1, 2, and 3, you would see the lineage is traced through Mary all the way to Adam. But there's a common thing linked to both of them, and that's through King David. And we will find that Abraham and David are key to the connecting into Jesus who came. So a while ago, we've read that passages in here. But if you go through all of this, from Noah to Abraham, they are men of faith, but they are also flawed in many ways. Remember Abraham, he passed off Sarah, his wife, as his sister. I mean, lying about it. If you look at King David, he had sinned so often before God. Okay, and so if you look into all of this, you'll say, hey, I cannot scrub off the past. It's written there. It's known about that. And so the Bible is reliable because it does not try to hide the lineage of Jesus even when there are sinners. You see, this is the whole idea about writing the genealogy of Jesus. Why did Jesus come? He came because of sinners like you and me. And so we find in the genealogy something quite unusual for a Jewish lineage, because in there are listed 5 women. Now, women were not considered important in a Jewish history, even at that time. So the first thing a Jewish man, when he wakes up in the morning, he says, I thank God that I was not born a woman. That's what they would say. Okay, and so such a low level, let's say, today we would say very disrespectful, But the culture of the time was this. Now, there are five women listed in the genealogy of Jesus. And we find the first one is Tamar. Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Judah. And Judah has broken his promise to give his son as the husband because of Tamar, whose first husband died. And so he married the brother. The idea of keeping it in the family is because of inheritance. Now, the second son of Judah died, and supposedly Judah is supposed to let his third son marry Tamar, but he did not. And so through deceit, Tamar pretended to be a prostitute. And somewhere Judah committed that sin with Tamar. And out of Tamar were born two sons. And out of that line, the lineage of Jesus continued. So think about that. Okay, it was a sin that produces children who became the ancestors of Jesus. And there was Rahab. You remember in Joshua, they came to conquer the land of Canaan. And who's Rahab? Who's a prostitute? Now, how would you identify yourself when you look into your lineage and said, hey, one of my ancestors is a prostitute? I am a product of a prostitute. The Bible does not try to cover those up. Ruth was a Moabite. People didn't like the Moabites at that time. Yeah, they were looked down. They were despised. And yet out of Ruth and Boaz came the line of David. Now, Bathsheba is not named here, but it says the wife of Uriah. You understand if you look into the Bible story of 2 Samuel, how David has lust for Bathsheba and sent Uriah to the front line to be killed so that he can take his wife, Bathsheba. What a pretty ugly thing. And out of this came Solomon. Solomon was born as a product of David and Bathsheba. And yes, Solomon did do his best to build the temple of God, but he sinned because he took on foreign wives. So we look into all of this, and Mary, we spoke about this, the scandal of Mary, who's a virgin, who's pregnant. How do you put all of these things in here? I believe that it was done on purpose in a couple things. Matthew emphasized the royalty of Jesus from the line of David. Luke very emphatically put all of these things in to prove the humanity of Jesus. Remember we talked about Jesus both as God and fully man? Fully God, fully man. And if you look at this, the scripture there, and look, it does not list Joseph as the father. It says Joseph's wife, Mary, was the mother of Jesus. So when you think about this, royalty, as we understand, is always through bloodlines. Okay, you have a blood relationship. Well, there was a bloodline all the way until Mary, who God intervened in a miraculous way that she was pregnant and gave birth to Jesus. You following me now about the lineage, why this is important? Okay, one of the other things that is so important is not just the title. You've probably seen a lot of movies about, you know, kings who were killed, and then somebody hit the son, and then one day the son was brought up again to be the rightful heir to the throne. Well, this is the whole idea of that. But Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. Jesus' kingdom is utterly different. It is a spiritual kingdom. And so as we look into the gospel, Luke very emphatically emphasized about the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow, that is quite a promise. David's kingdom will never end. Of course we know that David died. Of course we know that Solomon died. What does he mean here? That out of the root of David will come that king who would rule forever. And so we find in Matthew 1:17. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Why is this important? Why Abraham? Why David? Why Babylon? Now, three emphases here, 14 generations, the focus on Abraham, the focus on David, two key figures, and then an event, the event of the exile to Babylon. Why is it important about Abraham? Because God made a covenant with Abraham. What was that covenant? He says, go, leave this place, and I will make your descendants far greater than the stars of the sky. And out of you will be a blessing to many nations. You, Abraham, will be the father of many nations. Huge promise. Abraham's wife, they're both old and was not supposed to have children, and yet God fulfilled that promise, that covenant. God make a covenant with David, because David was a very special in God's heart. He was like a favorite one. And yet we saw that David was a flawed, has many flaws in his character. But God gave this promise to David. He said, hey, you all will build the temple for me. And we saw that happen. King Solomon built the temple. And then this promise that his throne will continue. He will never end. Can you imagine that promise? That means if you were to read it then, you will see, hey, you perhaps would interpret it, hey, one generation after the other until the next one, the last one, will be the king. Well, it is foretold. Messiah will come. He will be the one. But the people didn't understand that it is not a human earthly kingdom. Now what about Babylon? What's so important? God has throughout the Old Testament warned the Israelites, if you obey my laws and keep my decrees, I will bless you. However, if you disobey and you rebel, I will take away all of these blessings from you. And that's what happened. They sinned against God, and God caused them to be captured, exiled into Babylon. You see this in the book of Daniel. You can see in throughout the biblical narratives about the suffering. And then out in Babylon, they were crying out to God. It was, as Isaiah put it, out of darkness came a great light. I've just replaced batteries in my flashlight. I find out how important those batteries are. In a dark place where you cannot see. Darkness reflects hopelessness. Darkness kind of cloud our minds, our perspective. And for the people who were in exile, they were looking for some glimmer of hope. And that's why Isaiah prophesied, one day the Messiah will come, the anointed one. The word Messiah, connotation of a savior, one who would deliver you. And so we find that has been true, as we find Jesus who had become for them a deliverer. Has Jesus ever claimed to be king? I think that's a question we always ask. Did Jesus claim to be God? Did Jesus claim to be King? A number of occasions we found that to be true. When Jesus did miracles, therefore when Jesus realized they were about to come take him by force, prior to that Jesus did a lot of miracles. And then people said, hey, you are a prophet. And they want to take him by force to make him king. And Jesus withdrew. Nope, that's not the time. And that is not the right king that they would expect. We find that when Jesus stood before the governor and Pilate, asked him, are you the king of the Jews? He kind of acknowledged it. You said it. You said it. That was an acknowledgement. And then he said in John 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, he said, I would have called the angels and they would come and deliver me from the hands of the Jewish people. But by God's grace, he accepted his fate. And so he was crucified for your sins and my sins. That's why he came. So as we look into Jesus, there are many references to him as king. Even when he was nailed to the cross, what did Pontius Pilate said? Hey, put on an inscription there in 3 different languages. Put it in Hebrew. Put it in Greek. Put it in Latin, the Roman Pope. It says there, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Wow, even in death, he was recognized. 3 languages, and those were the most popular languages at the time. The Romans were ruling the world. Greek, influence, philosophical, was the rule. And the Hebrew language, so the local people, the Jews, King of the Jews. Remember when the Magi came, they were looking for what? The king in Judea. Herod was terrified. The king. Where is he? Today when Jesus, when we think about Jesus, we say the king reigns in our lives. The king reigns in our heart. So how would we respond to that? If Jesus is to be king, would we claim him to be King Jesus? Surrendering our lives to him and his lordship. Hear the word Lord. We don't use those. Do you ever call your boss Lord? No. Okay. But that's how in those days, lordship equals kingship. Lordship is master. That's how that relation is supposed to be. If Jesus is Lord, if Jesus is King indeed of our lives, what should we give to him? I think we need to surrender our wills to him. We need to come and understand, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:15, but put in your hearts reverence for Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be ready to give the reason for the hope that you have. Our hope is in Christ. Not in the things that we have, not in our IRA accounts, not in the accumulation of wealth that we have, not in the house or the cars, or the reputation that we have. Our hope is in Christ. For all the things that we have, it will one day be God. Truthfully, I have to deal with this. So, when I said I retire, I look into my IRA account. I look into my bank account. Can I survive on this? I look at the thing. If I was not taking this position as advisory pastor, I'll be at home selling a lot of stuff. I love to sell on eBay. Okay. But right now, I can't do any of that. So, I have a storehouse full of eBay stuff that one day I'll have to deal with. But I understand that that's not important. God's given me a purpose to come back to serve. There's greater joy in serving and doing your purpose. God healed me with my knee that I don't have to have knee surgery for a purpose as this, that I can serve him. And so reflect on what you have, give thanks for what God has given, and learn to surrender, to give to Him what is due Him. Ever said the Lord's Prayer? I'm sure we have, oftentimes. Okay, as the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And He said, in this manner, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How deep do we sincerely say this to God? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We seek for God's will oftentimes when we're in a relationship. Should I pursue this? Should I break up? We seek God when we are looking into a career advancement. Okay, should I take this opportunity? Should I look for something else? We seek for God when we look at education. What university should I go to? And what field of study should I be in? We seek for a lot of those, and it's not bad, because planning, God wants us to have planning in our lives. But if we can surrender our best plans and say, God, you take over. You take over. I remember talking to one person, actually a set of parents, whose daughter wants to go into Christian counseling and go into psychology. And the parents are very opposed. You're not going to make money out of this. Well, today, that daughter is now a professor in a very prestigious university, and she is in the field of psychiatry and very much involved in her church, even in leadership. So when we look at this, when we give of our best, sometimes, and this is the hardest thing with parents, what do I do with my children? Now, last week we have a parent and child dedication day. What does it mean to dedicate your child to God? The Jewish people on the seventh day, eighth day, they would go to the temple and give that child to God. It's a ceremony. It's a ritual. Now, what can we do to give of our best? For many of us, children is our inheritance. We give them the best. But for us, we can look at our bank accounts. We can look at our things that we have. How can we serve God? What are the things He has blessed you with? Yesterday on Facebook, I was thrilled to read this from one of our former members of the Washington International Church. She said, I went to church, and I was alone. And there was the grand piano. And she said, it was such a joy. I sang out of, nobody was there, but I just blurted out the song that God has given me. I had not played that piano for almost 30 years. And she said, everything came back to me. And she said, what a joy it is that now I can really play for God, because she's just gotten involved with her church in the area of music. Just for 30 years, I pursued my studies. I have children. I raised them up. You didn't get involved a whole lot in church ministry. But now I should come back, she said, this is a gift from God. I'm so glad to rediscover it. And now I'm using it for God. Perhaps this is something that you and I, we need to come back and look at. What has God given me that I can use for Him? Don't hide it. Don't bury it. Don't wait 30 years. Today's the day you can bring it out. We're a growing church. GICF, we're restarting. We can have a lot of ministries, but it involves you and I. How can we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And so we come here and we look at the King. If Christ is the King of my heart, I can have no other King. Some of you are familiar with the four spiritual law. Who is your king. Who should sit on the throne? No one but Christ himself. So I take myself off the throne. So in closing here, as we look into this season, we understand that he is the reason for this season. Let it not just be a quote, but let it be real. Because Christ came knowing he would look at the cross, knowing that he will die on the cross. He came to fulfill the will of God. May we fulfill the will of God in our lives. May Christ indeed be our King. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have given up your rights. You've let Jesus come to be human, to identify with our weaknesses, our temptations, and our sin, even though he was sinless. We thank you for that sacrifice. We thank you for the gift of eternal life as we confess of our sins to you. So Lord, speak to our heart. Some of us are still seeking after you. May we find the truth in Christ. Some of us are struggling with our faith because things have not gone our ways, or new philosophies and ideas came into mind. Some of us have been disappointed by you and the things that have not happened the way we want. Lord, help us to sort this out. Come, calm our hearts and our minds. May you take that rightful place in our heart to sit on the throne, to govern our daily lives. We thank you for the gift of this season. Christ the King is born today. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Wong, for the message. Jesus is King. Amen.
Amen.
Can we have the ushers come up for the offering? So we can also, it's also possible to give online on our website on gicf.church/give. We can set up an account and set up recurring offering if you want with your credit card. But let's pray for the offering. Dear God, thank you for you've given us all things.